few years ago, I would have said that I used my own might and will to do things, but I thank God today, where I am today, and I would like to just begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that it's by grace alone that we are saved. And it's by grace alone that, Lord, in believing that we have a two-way relationship with you, believing that it is you who has allowed us to be saved from eternal condemnation. I thank you for what you have worked in the lives of many, including your faithful servant. And I thank you, Lord, for this new life in Christ Jesus. And may I today be used as the vessel to pass on the fragrance of the gospel to others, to understand the gift that you have given us today. I thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Talk to people, you often have opening lines and decide on what to say. And often when I come to a situation like this, I just pick up a cue as I go along. So when Dad was talking about the car, I think that's the best way to go about it. I've been a doctor for over 30 years now. I've been in this country for 37 years. And I've been a doctor, previously a counselor, and now as a Christian counselor, as a healer. When I say a healer, I don't do anything. All I do is prescribe a few things, do a few things, and someone else do the thing. What it means by that is that if you have a wound that is lacerated or cut, all I'm doing is you building the bridges by putting the stitches on. I have no input in how it's going to join together. It is still puzzles me at times to see how two skin ages can join together. And I believe that there is a supernatural thing more than that. And even if you think about the Big Bang Theory, that there has to be a cause behind that. And there has to be something much more than what we can ever imagine. And so this morning I want to come to you and give to you what a gift that God has given to me, to understand that this grace, which is basically something that I don't deserve, and the mercy of not Him condemning me for what I deserve. And the gift is something that holds dearly to my heart. Recently, I took my car in for service. I was talking about cars. I own Porsches, Mercedes, BMWs, what have you. I've even driven a Maserati. I used to change cars every 3 years. But in the last 13 years, I have the same old Mercedes. It's done 350,000 kilometers. And every 6 months, I'll go down to Worrells. Some of you would know Worrells. Anyone know Worrells? Yeah. It's where the Mercedes place is in Turek. And my most recent trip down there, I was sitting there, and I spoke to the general manager, whom I know quite well, and I said, "What's the meaning of life? What is the purpose of this? Have you looked at all these women coming in with the tracksuit, with their new cars?" I said, "Every one of them is chasing something. Every one of them is not happy." He said, "Oh no, they're all happy." I said, "If it's truly, I've been there, if I'm truly happy, I won't be changing my cars every 3 years. Would you change your wife every 3 years? Maybe some of you would, I wouldn't know. But to understand men, you really have to talk in their jargon to understand things. So I'd like you to think about a few things today. 5 days ago, sitting on a Saturday, Monday afternoon, glorious day, I visited an 87-year-old Dutch lady who I've known for 26 years. She had been smoking for 60 years. She had never been in church for 50-odd years. And I sat down there. Previously, I have sympathy for people, no empathy. Doctors are very good at throwing words, just like lawyers. We don't really identify with the people. And on this occasion, I sat down and I felt there's no reason for me to rush. I can go back and see a few more patients and a few more dollars. But what's that going to achieve? So I spent some time sitting down with her. And I challenged her that she's coming to the last leg of her life. Oxygen constantly. She had severe lung disease and heart disease. I challenged her. What was that about? And in the last 2 weeks, I've challenged three other people, all in the 40s and 50-year-old range, men and women. A police inspector who's fairly well known in this country, in this state, a lawyer, ex-junkie. What I want to put in the back of your mind today, before I go on to talk about men's health and other issues, is that, for example, Doug Pickering. Who was Doug Pickering? Who is he now? Who is he going to be? Where would he like to be? Most men never think about that. I challenged these people last few weeks, four of them. You'd be surprised. Men are very good at lots of things, but not thinking about themselves from your own perspective. So I'd like you to spend a minute, just a minute, pondering over this issue. Who are you? What's the meaning of life? What's your purpose in life? And we'll come back to that at the end of 40 minutes. So I'd like you to keep silent just for a minute and think for yourself. What is the meaning and the purpose of you in this world? 10 years ago, I spoke to my children, pigeon pair, boy and girl in their teenagers, about three aspects of life. So today I'm going to talk to you about the three phases of life and the three aspects of life. The three aspects of life, as I identified some years ago, as I said, I've been a doctor for more than 30 years, so I can say a little bit about that. The three things that I pointed out to them is happiness, health, and wealth. And the three phases of life consist of this juggling of these three aspects. Sure, we have other aspects to think about, but essentially that's about it. The first phase of your life often is about chasing happiness. I remember from the time I was 9 years old, right up to in my 40s, happiness came first, wealth second. When you're young, unless you have cancer, none of us ever worry about it. I'm sure that when you're playing cricket, when you're playing footy at the age of 16, you never think about your health. Things are taken for granted, just like the new cars. In the second phase of your life, it's wealth chasing. All of us, it's still true in our Australian idea that the house is the man's castle. We still think about establishing a home, doing all sorts of things, but health is still put as last. And yet when we get to Doug's age, or my age, or some of the others, you have no time to worry about other things. It's either that you're past it, retired on the superannuation, you have passed your prime, whether you like it or not. And every morning you wake up with some reminder, the pains and aches that you have that you never thought you ever have. How many footballers can go up to the television show and talk about different clubs doing well, and they go home and whinge to their wives about the knee pains and everything else? And we don't realize that. You know, where your heart is, there's your treasure will be. There's a saying there. And that a lot of the times our emphasis in life depends on which aspect we put into the prime reason where we live. How many hours you spend in a day of doing something, that is where your treasure will be. But I'd like to each one of you think about this. Happiness, health, and wealth. What is your emphasis right now? Which one in what order is it? Happiness, health, or wealth? And is that the answer to all things? In 1984, the World Health Organization defined health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. But it's only in the last 15 years or so that the word holistic has come in. Some of you would know about New Age spirituality. When you talk about New Age to the New Agers, they know that you are on the outside, because they don't call it New Age anymore. They call it do-it-yourself ministry. It's a smorgasbord. And our society is no different from hundreds and thousands of years ago. We have gone backwards. We haven't gone forward. It is that what is good for me, I'll keep it to my faith, you keep it to your faith. Everything works. If you look at the physical aspects of health, so we have health in the three aspects: physical health, mental health, and emotional health. Most of us guys at our age would think about physical health. What are the things that you think about? First is the pain. To most of us, you would think that pain is something, is a pain in the neck, pain in the butt, pain in everywhere else, except that it's something good. In fact, you think about it, pain is one of the best allies that we have got to remind us that things are out of sync, that are out of balance, that have done something to our body. Yes, we have degenerative changes. Every one of us here have degenerative changes from the foolhardiness of our young youth. I've been a snow skier, I've gone into all sorts of tumble in my life. I might not look it, but I've gone through all that. And now it comes and reminds me of all the silly things I've done in my younger life. Degeneration is something. And you know that all physical health, we really look at genetic predisposition, our current health, and how we can prevent it. For most of us, I've got a friend who's a big bloke, 6'5", well overweight. His knees are the problem, but he really needs to go and lose weight and his strength. That's very hard. So degeneration is something all of us to have. Our disc pads is worn out. You drum against drums, so most of us would know that. Like your car. Heart disease is another thing that's common to us. There's no magic to it. The heart is just a pump. We measure the top pressure, which is the pressure of the pump pressure, and the lower pressure is the pressure through the pipe system at any one time. If you don't look after it, the little blood vessels burst and you get a stroke and all sorts of other things. Most of us at this age will start thinking about another issue which we never think about, which is sex and the prostate. You know what a prostate is? A prostate is just a three lobes. The front lobe presses on the base of the penis and the two lobes behind. And that's why we had doctors like us, an unfortunate opportunity of having to put two gloves to put in the backside to feel your prostate, unless you're one of those deranged person who likes it. And prostate is another problem where we don't look after ourselves. Lung is another one, like this old lady who chain smoked. I had a guy the other day, he was 51 years old, compulsive gambler and smoker. Couldn't get him off the grog or the smoke or the gambling, but when we found that he got accidentally found, he got blockage on the artery on the groin, he's gone in the hospital, had the stents put in, came out, gave up smoking. Guess what? For the first time in 30 odd years, he's taking some money home to his missus. Incredible change of people's life. Emotional health and mental health, I'd like to briefly just talk about that together. When you're younger, you don't think about it, but when we get older, a lot of people are lonely in the nursing home, old men. But nowadays, we see a lot of young people committing suicide. There is no hope, there's no purpose, there's no meaning in life for most of them. If three of you have broken the same arm, imagine, same sort of fractures. You know what the response can be? One would take the average 6 weeks and it comes out of that. The other one, they in the drunken stupor, take away the plaster and they never complain about it ever again. Another one will come back to us 10 years later still complaining about the same age. And it just shows that you can't dissociate physical ailments and physical aspects of your life from emotional, mental aspect of life. When I ask a woman, usually, what do you think? She tells me what she feels. When I ask a man, how do you feel? He tells me what he thinks. We men are not very good at communication, you know. You know, one of the big things for young and old, especially when you get older, is that you don't realize that. I didn't get a slide there, and can you put out the first slide, please? I do a lot of, God has been good to us, and I'll explain that to you briefly afterwards. This guy's, look at his knobs around his joints, arthritis. Untreated for a long time until we came across him some years ago in a refugee camp. Next one. This lady shows what some of our women folk are like. Loss of hope and depression. And we men sometimes cause it. Not always. I didn't put up a slide there, but I once received a slide about a woman's like lots of switches. I'm sure some of you have seen it. Anyone seen that? The men only one switch, the women have lots of switches. I've been in this country for 37 years. I can tell you that sometimes not only that a woman can have four seasons in a day, but it changes several times. What's one plus one to a man is easy. Two, to a woman, what's the answer? Three, maybe. Four, five, two, depends on what she feels like. So you think that women as a different species, we can't connect with them. But think about it. Man has one switch. The positive side is that you know exactly where a man stands. One switch, and that's it. The problem is that 30 years later, still one switch. Can't see past that one. And when that switch breaks down, that's it. Finito. And the problem is that as you get older, what happens is that you become more and more stubborn. Most men want to tell others what they think. They don't want to hear. You know, one of the things I went to do a course some years ago about human communication. I used to think that I was good at it because I could talk. You know what happens? Is that good communicators are often not good talkers, are good listeners. We men sometimes spend too much time pushing our own barrel. How many men spend most time talking about everyone's better than Johnny Howard? They all think they can do a better job than Steve Bragg, but they can't even handle their own situation at home with their spouses or their children. And what's the best gift you therefore can live with the loved ones? Is it happiness? Is it health? Is it wealth? You know, the desire of the heart, the cravings of the mind, the lusts of our eyes, they will all fade away one day. There's no eternal value to that. I'll give you an example of that in a minute. At the age, in my late 40s, I had it. I have everything. My daughter at that time was 16 years old. She had spent most of every year overseas, on at least once a year overseas on holidays. We went skiing every year in winter. We'd gone down to the islands. We had one of the best addresses in Melbourne. I had two Mercedeses. I was on top of everything. I have health, wealth, and happiness. And that's what I thought. I spoke to them about it, as I said to you. So I really want you to think about that. Is that all there is? But none of those, I did not know at that time that none of these really had eternal values in my life. And out of the blue, something happened to me. I won't go into great detail. This is not the forum for that. But great crisis happened in my life. Some of you older ones would remember Casablanca, my favorite movie. I wanted to die. I really wanted to die. I've been an atheist all my life. My parents were atheists. And my mom is now 83. Guess what? I prayed for her for the last 6 years and nothing happened. And beginning of this year, she decided to read the Bible by herself. 83 years old. Whew. My mom and dad used to be like me, which is that everything that you can't work it out is not true. Anything you can't see, anything you can't touch is not true. At the age of 9 years old, I remember standing in a balcony, 4 stories high, and look up in the sky and say, what's the meaning of this? Why am I on this earth? Speak to me with such thing as a God, but he didn't talk to me. You know why he didn't talk to me? Now I found out I wasn't listening. It wasn't that he wasn't talking to me. I just wasn't listening because I wanted God's will, but I wanted to do it my way. At 9 years old, that was what I thought about. By the time I was 12 years old, Confucius was my God. I started to read about Confucius' teaching. I knew a lot of it. I was starting to teach people even at 13. By the time I was 14, I went to the library and found my new God, which was called logic. By the time I was 16, I vomited blood twice. I look back and wonder why, because my parents to this day, 88 years old and 83 years old, are still fighting like cats and dogs. No one could stop them. And they were talking about even a year ago of separating and divorce, 88 and 83. But what changed it? My mother started to read the Bible and they changed it. My dad hasn't changed yet. I know that he will. Don't ask me what it is. I think people call it sixth sense, but I think it's a lot of people praying for that. At 16, I was 15 years old, I said, if there is such thing as a God, punish me so that I might be the cause of this fighting. I had 3 sisters, but I took it upon myself. And at 16, I vomited blood twice. I was going to die. I went to the hospital, wanted to take 2/3 of my stomach out. And I found that 20-30% of people die after the operation. I was really scared. But of course, now I look back, I realize that a lot of them had cancer of the stomach. So I wanted to be a doctor. My parents say no, because I was trained to be a Chinese scholar in the classics. And I didn't do too well. I used to be a fairly good student, but in my final year in fifth form, which is those days where they call senior Cambridge, or what you call here living standard, or year 10. Year 9, I did very well. Year 10, I did hopeless. And for some reason, God has taken me back to this country a year later and started medicine and became a doctor. Life was about chasing something, just like those ladies and men in wars, chasing something. Every 3 years, I had to change cars. Happiness was what I was looking for, like most of you, at some stage in life. You want happiness. You don't think about anything else. I remember when I first had my first radio, I was excited. When I first television, I was excited. I wanted to chase something called a fridge, and I got a fridge. When I got my first car, it was a Volkswagen. Didn't matter that it was a hopeless car, but that was my possession. But do you know how many times people standing on the podium with the gold medals around them realized that it was meaningless? And when I was in my 40s, I thought of everything. And then when one day everything crashed down on me, then I realized that I had nothing. I wanted to die, but I couldn't join the French Foreign Legion because I wasn't strong enough. So I wanted to die. There was a call at that time in a place called Myanmar or Burma, as some of you would know, that they want a doctor to go there, but it's a treacherous country. No Christian doctors want to go there. No doctors want to go there. And I said, I don't value my life. Just get me there. Because I don't know how to kill myself. I'm too smart to kill myself. I had a friend at that time who was a doctor, also gone through depression. And he, instead of trying to kill himself, he curled up in bed for 6 months. Another one, he wanted to kill himself. And what happened was that, and he realized his son was going to be a new doctor at that time. He said, how would I feel if I die and my son have to identify my body? Was that the gift I was going to give my son, no matter how depressed I am? So on the mission field, I took the Bible with me. I didn't understand it. Guess what? I brought a few people to Christ. I don't even know how I did it, because I didn't do it. I just went there being used to do something. And when I was depressed, you know what happened? I used to be a doctor. You have to have pretty good memory. I wasn't that good, but I was good enough to remember lots of things. But when I was depressed, I lost my memory. And one day I was the hairdresser. I was having a haircut. I suddenly realized more than 50% of my hair was white. Couldn't believe it. People tell you that you can overnight white hair. I didn't think it could happen. But it happened to me. That was how depressed I was. I remember they tried the oldest trick on me. Trying to take me to say, take this old couple to church. Oh yeah, sure. I'm depressed. I'm not silly, you know. So I went to church and I listened to this old pastor in Chinese. He was talking about from a passage called 1 Corinthians 13 about the love. And I remembered what love was about. As men, we cannot cuddle each other. Every time I used to see two men hugging each other, I thought, oh, it must be a pufta. But when I became a Christian, I realized there's more to it than that. And for the first time, I realized what true love was. Because I remember as a young person chasing happiness, I was really chasing for love. My parents' love and everything else's love. And I couldn't get that love. I read a book by Eric Fromm, some of you would have known, back in the 60s, called The Art of Loving. And you know, ever since that time, every year, the spin doctors and all the journals and newspaper would tell you a new spin on love. No one's got the answer because there was selfish love. And the first time I read something that I couldn't argue with, found in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, people come to the God from various ways, but I understood it, but I didn't have no this relationship they were talking about. I believed for once that all the things I believed before were wrong, but I had no relationship with God. And God took me to a place called Thailand and Burma, and Bob over there had been there with us before. I've been there more than a dozen times. People say, are you Thai? I say, no. Australian, Chinese, but banana, bruised banana, yellow on the outside and white and bruised inside. But the thing is that when I got there, God changed me. I remember a 13-year-old girl that challenged me, a pastor's daughter, and said, at that time I was severely depressed, I lost my memory. I remember for 2 years driving to work, half the time not knowing how I got there because I fell asleep on the wheel, most days. And now I look back, it must be God's grace that took me there because I didn't have a single car accident. I had lots of accidents ever since then. Bob would tell you that I've been to Thailand 12 times. Each time, 2 weeks before I go, something happened to my car. 1 year I decided not to take the car in. A friend of ours took me to the airport, and 200 meters from the airport, his car died. The next year there was a flood. Another year was something else, without fail. But as soon as I got there, when we got to the custom, miraculous things happened. I've seen lots of miracles since that time, because previously I never seen miracles as a doctor because I didn't believe in it. Until I believe in it, then I start to see things. It can happen to you. It can happen to anyone. And I tell you that when I, one day this 13-year-old challenged me to memorize things, I lost my memory. And this was the book, I read a book, and it says, a guy called Chuck Swindoll. About if you have severe depression. At that time, I've been to lots of psychiatrists and psychologists, Christian psychiatrists, spin doctors, deliverance. People zap me this way, zap me that way. Nothing ever happened. I had taken tablets, nothing worked. They tried to lay hands on me and say, you have to fall down, but you're pushing me. I refuse to go down. So I lost my memory. This girl challenged me to memorize the book of joy, because the book of joy is something that Chuck Swindoll say, if you read it every day for a month, you will get some joy out of it. I had nothing to lose. I've tried everything else. So I tried that. Didn't work. So this girl challenged me, and she said, how about we memorize it? I said, no way. My memory's gone. So after half an hour, she came up to me and she said, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, to She went on and on and on. I said, what's going on? She said, what did you get? Half an hour. You know what I got? Paul and Timothy, that's all I had. Three words. That's how bad my memory was. And yet, some years later, by the grace of God, my memory came back. And now still can memorize the book of Philippians. It took me 2 years to memorize it. And my, guess what? My black hair is all back. I still got a few white streaks. I tell people that the only way I look prosperous and older is because I put the dye with whites on the streaks. That's all. So what does that bring us to? I've told you a little bit glimpse about my story. What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? Is it about happiness, health, or wealth? We realize that nowadays World Health Organization and the medical fraternity have realized the importance of spiritual life. In the book, most of us would know John 3:16, that because some of you do not know, I'll paraphrase it, that God so loves the world that he gives his one and only son, that the only way we believe in it, then we have eternal life. And that's the eternal life we have. The testimony comes from the God so loves us, he make himself into human form, take on the sins of the world and take away our sins. C.S. Lewis' quotes, I will mention it to you. Imagine if these two are my friends, good friends of mine, Rowan Foster and Bob Garbett. Bob says I'm a great man, right? Rowan Foster reckons I'm a good man. Do you think they're right? Maybe. Just imagine, instead of that, this guy is a Muslim. This guy is a Jew. Both guys are not really my friends, are they? And yet they said that I'm a good man. If two of my enemies say I'm a good man, it's almost very likely that I must be a good man. So if the Jews and the Muslims, although they believe Mahatma and all the others, say Jesus Christ was a sinless man, Jesus would have to be either a liar, a lunatic, or who he claims to be. Simple as that. No argument. Man can argue all you like, but that's what it is about. If two people, if we walk along the journey of our life or in the track today, going the four-wheel drive, driving down and come to the fork road, and Doug has lost his memory, he doesn't know where he's going, and the two men lying there, one's dead, one is alive, who do you ask for direction, the dead one or the live one? All the founders of all other religions are dead, except we have a living Christ Jesus. Would you ask him? Because that is historical fact of his death, known not only by his disciples, by his enemies, that he died. And his enemies also knew that he was alive 3 days later. Irrefutable. In medicine, we know that science, what is true today, is almost definitely wrong 10 years later. You might think that I'm making it up. I can tell you that every medication that I've come across in the last 36 years, that when they say it's the answer, and then 10 years later they say no. For example, aspirin. Wonder drug for everything. And then some years late, in the 80s, it was the worst drug under the sun. Nobody's going to take it. Now the situation becomes that, why isn't my dad on the aspirin? Why isn't my mother on aspirin? Previously they asked you, why is my dad on aspirin? We're manipulated by that sort of things. So I challenge you today about those aspects. We think about, instead of talking about happiness, wealth and health, every one of us will have unhappiness for sure. I had that. What's the antidote for that? What's the prescription for that? Joy. Joy means that even in sorrow, even I have an argument with my wife, even I feel that the church is against me, even though I got no friends, I got a joy of knowing that I've got a friend in Christ Jesus. The love that God loves my children more than I can ever imagine. Every one of us love our children a lot. But I've come to realize that God loves my children more than I do. And the peace is knowing that I got that reassurance of knowing that every day, every morning I get up, I can face the day knowing that it's going to be a great day because my memory is returned to me. I've never lost that joy since the day driving down the road 3-4 years ago, still depressed, became a Christian, still depressed, reciting through this book of Philippians, and suddenly, like a thunderbolt, it hit me. God spoke to me for the first time. I never thought God could speak to you. No such thing, I must be dreaming, but God spoke to me. By the prayers of my brothers and sisters and the Holy Spirit, He's delivered me. This came out of Philippians 1:19, and on that instantly I was delivered of depression. Never ever got depressed ever since. And since then, God has opened eyes to miracles that we have seen all the time. This depressed woman got better. We brought the gospel to her. And when our friend there can find us the next slide, just very briefly, this is a guy who went to church and they rejected him because he smelled. He hadn't had a shower for years and his face was putrid. We only saw him this year. And the night before that, God spoke to me and said that how could he call a Christian and preach good news when he can't even shake his hand? The day before I shook his hand, I have to wash it many, many times. I had 2 pairs of gloves. But the next day, I shook his hand in the church and took him to greet all the Christians. They accepted him. Jesus would have done that. On my own, I would never have done that. This is a guy that, through him, he was dying, and through him, we baptized him. And the next, his son and grandson came to the Lord and changed. This was a guy that was 78-year-old we met last January on one trip to Thailand. 78-year-old, had a stroke, paralyzed on one side, 9 months, complete loss of memory, unable to speak, totally incontinent, with wheeze and poos. As you can see, he couldn't even sit up, they had to pop him up. We couldn't do anything. We asked him to denounce Buddhism, and we lay hands on him, 4 of us. Those people were all witnesses to that. September last year, next slide. Complete recovery. I've never seen that in my life in Australia. Couldn't have done that. His memory came back. He decided that he is a Christian now. Next slide. He's the 10th prophet of a Buddhist order. Some years ago, we went to Thailand. We have to trudge up 5 hours up steep country, which is like Grampians. Imagine you have to trudge up Grampians at 40 degrees, 36, 40 degrees. And the first trip I went up there, on the way back, I had severe pain from my old karate and skiing injury. That night, I had massage, I had injection, I had tablets, I had everything I could think of. The next day, I struggled to get out of the village. The night before, we met his disciple. Nothing happened, but on the way back, after walking for 4 hours, anyone with injury would know that when you walk on the flat land, it's very painful. When you go uphill, it's fine. When you walk downhill, there's no way you can walk. And look up the sky, look at this 30 degrees incline and say, another hour to go. Forget it, I can't make it. I have shown to myself some years ago to run the marathon for 25 kilometers because I thought that the mind was stronger than anything. I did prove it to myself, but on this occasion it didn't work. So I went through 27 river crossing. On the last river crossing, I put my head, dunked myself in the water and said to the Lord, you have to do something. My will can't even carry me anymore. You have to do something about this. I can't walk. I got up instantly. The pain went. And mind you, this pain had been there for more than 24 hours. And the next trip, we came back and saw this guy. He was a prophet on the Buddhist order, quite high up. His eighth prophet had a premonition or vision to say that some years later, two generations later, there were going to be three guys who come and talk to you about the biggest God in the world. And it happens the three of us got there. I won't give you the long story, but the short story was that we spent 4 hours talking to him about God. At the end of that, he said to us, "What's your wish?" And I said that one day you become a Christian and the whole group of Buddhists become Christian. He pondered for a while and said to us that, "I believe and I know that one day we will be." This is the gift God can give us. Peace in God Jesus is that like a bird perched on the tree, thunderstorm and found peace. Not the peace that I used to look at in the distant land and think that is a peaceful setting. So the gift that God has given me is something I want to pass on to some of you who may not know God yet, who still struggle. That is not about happiness. It's not about wealth and health. All those things fade away. In Ecclesiastes, some of you know King Solomon. Everything became meaningless. That was my life too. Wisdom, wealth, health. It really replaced by three things from God. Love, unconditional love. The peace of reassurance and the joy of knowing that every day, every decision I made, I've got to help me through all those areas. There's a lot of things I could share with you, but I think that's enough for the day. That for men, we have to realize that we have to change, not just have one switch. Let God be the switch. I've seen so many lives change in recent months and recent years about men who changed their lives accepting God. They changed their marriage, changed the way they think, changed the way they look at jobs. You look at things totally from a different perspective. So if you go home today, if some of you have never accepted Christ, we've got a few Bibles for you. Just a gift. For those ones that is there for you to read, for some of you, you want to go back and think about it. What's the purpose of life? Who are you? Who is Lance? Who was Lance? Who is Lance now? Who is Lance tomorrow? Why is Lance here? Why is Lance going to be tomorrow? Think about it. What's the gift? The best gift that you can give to your son, your daughter, or your granddaughter. The gift of love that God gives it to us and to you, through you to give the other person. You know that love is a seed that God's put in us. We don't think we have, but we have. Imagine that as we drive down the road, we see a kid fall down from a bike on the roadside. The first instinct is, no matter how depressed you are or how miserable you are, you go and help him. Help the kid. You don't ask for reciprocation, unconditional love. And that unconditional love is what God put in our heart. And you can actually pass it on. So thank you for this morning. Hope we can catch up again one day.